it's not work, it's not business, it's what you enjoy.
I think, in a way, I almost compare it to a real-life relationship.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to have like a fling or like you're going to just date someone.
Yeah.
And you're just like superficially attracted to each other. Then the first fight that you have, you'll break up.
Yeah.
Right? You can't actually get through it. But if you're actually in love with someone, you'll go through 100 fights and it'll make it stronger, it'll make your resolve stronger and you'll get through it. It'll have to be earth-shattering to break.
Yeah.
I think it's, weirdly, it's almost the same thing in entrepreneurship. You have to be in love with your idea. You have to like actually obsessively love what you do so that only something earth-shattering will let you leave it. Right, but every day's issues will only like be like arguments, you'll get over it and you'll keep going.
Very good, I'm going to pause you there.
Welcome to Unstarted. What is unique about this show is this is about you. It is for founders, by founders. Hi, welcome to another episode of Unstarted. It's a very special one. I have to literally remember to go through the list of all the achievements of my guest, who I will introduce shortly. He's the person who founded a team in Mumbai, which is the Entrepreneurs Association of Mumbai. He founded a company that we will talk about. That company has brought a lot of joy to many of us in terms of the things that he has enabled us to do. And he was supposed to be my neighbor until he decided to live in a better place. So with that, let me welcome Harsh Jain. All of you know him as the founder of Dream 11, Dream Sports. We have seen your name. You were telling me that you sponsored every IPL team except maybe one. Obviously sponsored the Indian cricket team. Your foundation has helped people go to the Olympics, and you were supposed to be my neighbor, and then your business went down by 95%.
Then I couldn't afford to be your neighbor.
Oh, okay. And you are here.
It's a great show to just like help entrepreneurs. I wish there were more shows like this, more like learning opportunities like this. As a first-time founder, we would get these kind of learning opportunities only from like the, you know, what did Musk do when he was in PayPal? What did people do in Airbnb and Uber?
Yeah.
We never had Indian context from Indian founders who've been through the grind.
Let's go back all the way. You did grow up in a privileged background. But let's go back to your educational background. And then all that privilege seemed to have gone away when you started your company. Because I don't think you got any money because of the privilege. And I remember some of that journey and you telling me how we also didn't invest. So let's go all the way back and how did you get started?
Yeah, so I look, like you said, born with a silver spoon in that sense, had a privileged background. I went to high school in London, went to do my undergrad in UPenn. I did my engineering there. And when I came back, I was like a good Marwadi boy. I went and joined the family business. I was in real estate and, you know, my dad loves real estate finance. And I was bored out of my mind because I had no interest. As an engineer, I wanted to build something. I wanted to do something. And I loved sports. I loved gaming. And I loved my fantasy sports more than anything. I love technology, obviously. And then IPL was starting. And so having played Fantasy Premier League, I'm a diehard Manchester United fan.
Yeah.
And so having played Fantasy Premier League for almost 10 years before that, I went looking for fantasy cricket.
Yeah.
So and maybe not for this audience who might not know what Super Selector is. There was a Super Selector back in the day. In early 2000s.
Where you would pick your own teams and they would compete. Yeah.
And it had shut down because of, you know, bad product market fit at a time where bad timing, right?
Yeah.
Right product, wrong time.
Yeah.
And so it was literally, that's it. I was like, this is a massive problem. People want to play fantasy cricket. It's a huge thing overseas and they can't in India. So I was like, chalo, we'll put our engineering to some use and start it. And that's how we started. I think, like you're saying, the privilege is a huge boon, obviously, because you don't have to worry about your roof over your head,
yeah.
or like money in your bank, you know, will I get food, will I get a place to stay, that all is something you can always take for granted. But it's also a bit of a, there is a dark lining to that silver cloud, if you know what I mean. Because A, your bar is very high.
Yeah.
So if you build like a $50 million company.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, you know, like, is the opportunity cost worth it?
Yeah.
Right? So it has to be a $1 billion outcome. So it also creates a distortion for someone starting out that your bar is already very high.
So tell us about, so with all of that, your funding story is fascinating because it wasn't easy. Yeah. So tell us about that. So the idea also I thought was very interesting. You went with what you were passionate about.
Yeah.
Something we see very often with entrepreneurs, that some kind of lived experience.
Yeah.
Actually be eating your own dog food, being the user is very important, right?
Yeah, and so then, I am still an obsessive fantasy football fanatic. I still play fantasy Premier League like passionately. I think I must be averaging in the 95th percentile in the world every year for the last 25 years. So I'm just like one of those crazy fantasy guys.
And that probably, and we'll come to the issues along the way, but that probably also keeps you going. Through,
yeah, 100%. Through
the, because if, it's not just, it's not work, it's not business, it's what you enjoy.
I think in a way I almost compare it to a real life relationship.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to have like a fling or like you're going to just date someone.
Yeah.
And you're just like superficially attracted to each other. Then the first fight that you have, you'll break up.
Yeah.
Right? Very you good. Can't actually get through it. But if you're actually in love with someone, you'll go through 100 fights and it'll make it stronger. It'll make your resolve stronger and you'll get through it. It'll have to be earth-shattering to break.
Yeah.
I think it's, weirdly, it's almost the same thing in entrepreneurship. You have to be in love with your idea. You have to like actually obsessively love what you do so that only something earth-shattering will let you leave it. Right? But every day's issues will only like be like arguments, you'll get over it and you'll keep going.
Very good. I'm going to pause you there. Let's run the first question because I think you just answered it.
Hi, I'm Sudhruti Shukla. I graduated from the National Institute of Fashion Technology. And my question to you is, do you really need to have an original idea to be able to build a company?
So I think you were saying more along the lines of, don't go by the idea, go by lived experience.
Yeah.
Like something that you are really passionate. It's like ideas and problems are always around us, right?
You know, I think it has to be like, honestly, in today's world, like everyone has an idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Every single person you speak to has an idea. Some are bad, some are good, some are great. I think you would have seen many great ideas fail and you would have seen many okay ideas succeed.
Yeah.
Right? So it's definitely all about execution, first of all. It's not about the idea as much.
I think it's about the founders.
But yeah. Okay. No, the execution is by the founders.
Yes, yes.
I'm saying so it's all about team and TAM.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you have a large market that you're going after and a killer team that's obsessed, then the probability of succeeding much more. They'll keep pivoting the idea.
Yeah.
The idea, almost no startup I know sticks with the idea that they actually started with.
Correct.
They'll keep adapting.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger point here is that people obsess about ideas. Whereas I think we should be obsessing about the problem.
Problems.
What is the problem you're targeting, right? Yeah. Why does it matter? I love this saying from the Valley and I can tell you, we've incorporated it truly and deeply with like our pivot now away from Dream 11, Real Money, Gaming to everything else we're doing now, is that we had, you know, an open plate now, an open blank canvas to actually get started from. And there were so many ideas, internally, externally. Every investor had an idea, every employee had an idea, every friend had an idea of what we should do with a 300 million user base, with some money in the bank, with 1,000 great employees, all of that. And we said that, you know, what are the problems? Forget the ideas.
Yeah.
Leave the ideas at the door.
Yeah.
What are the problems that people have? Because your idea will keep changing. You'll try something, won't work. You'll keep pivoting, adapting.
Yeah.
But if you can focus on the problem, then we know we're onto something. That doesn't change. Problems don't change.
Yeah. But there's so many problems out there.
So there has to be something that is a root problem. First of all, it can't be a superficial problem.
Yeah.
So which is why I left the analogy from the West, which is, are you building a vitamin or a painkiller?
Pain killer, right? Correct.
But I know it's like
Let's explain that. Sure. That vitamin helps you.
So like, I take vitamins.
Yeah.
I went on a holiday. I forgot my vitamins.
Nothing
happened.
Life. Yeah.
If you don't take your vitamins for a week or for a month, nothing will happen. But it's good. Like, you should have it every day.
Yeah.
Okay. Painkiller, if I go and break my bone or if I have 104 fever, I'll do anything in the world
to get that combi flower.
To get that one painkiller.
Yeah.
And that point of time, there's nothing more important in the world to me than the painkiller.
Yeah.
So I think that it's very important to build painkillers.
Yeah.
Which are deep-rooted problems, which if you solve, people will pay you for.
Yeah. And I would add that there the timing matters. For example, if you look at the Ola, Uber type of a painkiller, right? We all had taxi journeys in Mumbai or in other cities where taxi drivers would keep saying no. Yeah. But without the mobile, without the timing of that, without GPS, it 100%. Couldn't have been solved. They were the Merus of the world, but they couldn't solve it, right?
Yeah. I mean, timing is a lot.
Let's go back to the funding story. So I think even though you're not in the valley, you have a quintessential napkin funding type of story. So let's talk about how many rejections, how did you feel during those rejections? Very, very qualified guy doing something very interesting. How did you grind through that? And then how did you get funded?
So 2008 we started, and then 2009-10 we burned through all the money that me and my family had put in as seed funding. 2011-12 we were running an agency to actually make some money because I didn't want to go back to the family for more funding.
Yeah.
After everyone in the world said this was a terrible idea, and I did it anyways, and they were right, it was a terrible idea. But I was so hell-bent on the fact that fantasy has to work. That it took me a few years to realize that the idea and solution was wrong.
Hmm.
The problem was still there.
Hmm.
Fantasy still was a problem that people wanted this way to interact with sports more.
And it's been centuries that people have interacted with sport.
Correct, but it wasn't there.
Yeah.
So that problem still stayed, but our solution was wrong. It took us a few years to find the right solution.
Yeah.
So then we ran an agency, kept this alive on the side as a pet project. And then 2012, we launched the RMG version.
Yeah.
Then it worked for like 2 years. And I went to Columbia for my MBA to try to raise money also in the US and actually understand finance, because I was just an engineer who didn't understand any finance. And then people said, Tam, Tom, Sam, and I said, hey, ye kiske bacche ke naam hai, right? Like, I don't know what all this is.
Yeah.
So I needed to understand the VC bespoke language as well and what they're asking me. And I also wanted to pitch there. So it took me a while to figure out that all the VCs I met in India before 2012 told me, yaar, ye fantasy and all is a global thing and India mein nahi hai, so you should go and pitch to global investors. And then when I went to the US investors, they said, yeah, this is an India thing that you're doing. You should
Indian
go to
investor.
India. It took me a few years to realize it's just a nice way to say no.
Say no. Yeah.
It's just like no one wants to say no. Yeah. So they say like, go do this instead. Yeah. And then towards that 4-year kind of fundraising journey, which was unsuccessful, I met Vani through Kunal Bell of Snapdeal was also with me at UPenn.
Yeah.
So he introduced me to Vani. I met Vani, but she had to rush to the airport in like 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I met her downstairs in a hotel at the reception kind of area. And like you're saying, it's actually like one of those stories we hear. I was pitching to her like, you know, my 5-minute, this is why. And she was like, wait, I don't understand what you're saying. I need to write it down. And we were like, kis pe likhe? So she was like, oh, here's a napkin on the table. Let's write down.
Yeah.
And I have a photo of that napkin.
Yeah. Amazing.
Where she's written down, like, this is how big the market can be. This is everything. Yeah. And this formed the basis of her logic to potentially invest.
Yeah.
And then she was going to the airport. So I said, you know, can I just come with you? JFK, you'll take 1 hour to reach.
Yeah.
I'll continue pitching you in the car.
Yeah.
So she said, Aja.
Yeah.
So I pitched her. And then when we came back to India.
Yeah.
Then she led her first round, and Shashin from Think Investments joined in. And
amazing. And Bani had invested in Snapdeal as well. So she definitely picked some great bets early.
But yeah, it took 150 rejections. We sat and counted for fun.
How did you feel?
You feel like shit. I mean, like this.
So then how do you keep going?
That's what I'm saying. It has to be a higher purpose. Like, you have to be in love.
Yeah.
Right?
So this, like, is your point, that
this
if
is my point.
You rejections...
Have you have to be in love. If you're just there for a... Like, if you're just... If you're there for lust, right, essentially.
Yeah.
I would compare lust to saying, yaar, mujhe ek $1 billion company banani hai.
Mission kam hai, transaction hai.
Mujhe $1 billion company banani hai, mujhe unicorn banna hai, you will always fail. But if you say, mujhe ye problem solve karna hai, like this is a deep-rooted problem and it's a huge market. Your probability to succeed goes up, like, I think 100x.
Yeah.
So I think that is where you just keep going no matter what the world tells you.
Yeah.
But also, like, the flip side of that is, where do you also stop? Because sometimes it's just not the right time, not the right place.
Yeah.
So that's the big dichotomy for founders always.
Yeah.
I would say you have to give any idea at least 3 years.
Yeah. Interesting.
If you're willing to dedicate 3 years of your life, start something.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to dedicate 3 years of your life, don't try it.
Yeah. Very good. You know, I had that same question at the time of Bazi, and I know you know my co-founder Suvir as well. I still remember, maybe year two into it, kuch nahi ho raha hai. In those days, I myself, because I'm a computer science engineer, used to go in and look at the database, look at the code to figure out dashboards were not there. There was no Google. None of this infrastructure was there.
You had your servers in your office and one room.
No, I had it at VSNL, and rats used to be running around. So, and then Sharad Sanghi rescued us with NetMagic. So the interesting thing was, I still remember that there was one transaction of a stamp collector from Lucknow selling stamps to somebody in Mumbai. And then there was one transaction of a coin collector trading coins across the country.
Sure.
I suppose two transactions, but kuch to ho raha hai, progress. Yeah. How do you measure progress? So I agree with you, give it time.
Yeah.
But there have to be some micro progress, because this was tiny, nano progress, not even micro progress. But I knew that this could work, right?
Yeah.
What were those for you?
It's a very tough way to figure out. Product market fit is just like, it's an art, not a science.
Yeah.
But there are data. There is data that you can use as a base. But that, you know, that saying that if you can torture data enough and it'll tell you anything you want.
Anything you want,
right?
Yeah.
But I think there is some base. And I think that base for me is adoption followed by retention.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing about transactions and money and all that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if people, as long as you're not throwing money at consumers, you know, my dad has this saying, ki laddu baatoge to line to lagegi.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, as long as you're not giving people free money.
He would probably say that to all the businesses we invest in.
Oh, yeah. He hates.
because they're burning money.
He hates all this, like throwing money at consumers. But, you know, he's old
school. It's a good point on adoption. One of the takeaway lessons, at least we try to tell our companies, is you don't use marketing to light the fire. Once you have a fire, use marketing to fuel the fire.
That's right.
But if you have to use marketing to light the fire, that's not a marketing. Yeah. That's maybe a false fire. The other thing you said, which I think is very, very important, and for me, frankly, only thing I look at is retention.
Yeah.
If you have value, people will come back. If you don't have value, people will.
So that's what I was saying. At an early stage,
even
if you have 10 users, are 8 of them continuing?
Coming.
Right? And is there retention is not just retention.
Yeah.
Is usage exponentially increasing?
Yeah.
Right? And then are they calling their virality? Are they calling their friends?
Yeah.
Which leads to more adoption.
Yeah.
And so this adoption, retention, and increased usage of retained users.
Yeah.
That is how I think I would define it.
And I think what you just said, it is scientific. It can be done.
Yes.
And even back in Bazi days, I called those two sellers. I said, "Aur kya bech sakte ho?"
Yeah, correct.
Right. So even if you have a small base,
ghuso
inside it.
And then
talk
guy,
to them. Figure it out.
And that guy will tell his community, na?
Correct.
Dekho, maine
ye. Aur unka phone aa gaya mere ko. Bahut achhi company hai. Right.
So. And he'll say, no, मेरा मेरे कॉइन थे yeah. वो एक मुंबई वाले ने खरीद लिया ऑन दिस प्लेटफॉर्म. मैं यहाँ पे लखनऊ में बैठा हूँ एंड समवन इन बॉम्बे बॉट इट और पैसा भी आ गया
एंड द वर्ड ऑफ माउथ
जस्ट एंड देन ही विल टेल 10 ऑफ हिज फ्रेंड्स एंड देन दैट्स हाउ वायरलिटी स्प्रेड्स. द ओनली ट्रिक इन दैट व्हिच इज व्हाई आई एम सेइंग दैट द डेटा पॉइंट इज दैट इफ यू आर थ्रोइंग मनी एट यूजर्स ऑफ कोर्स पीपल विल यूज इट मोर. सो थोड़ा सा यू हैव टू कीप अ आई ऑन लाइक यूनिट इकोनॉमिक्स.
यूनिट इकोनॉमिक्स
राइट. सो बट इट्स टू अर्ली
फॉर मोस्ट बिकॉज़ यू नो एंड व्हिच इज व्हाई दिस इज नॉट इजी. वन कुड आर्ग्यू क्विक कॉमर्स हैज बीन थ्रोइंग मनी एंड सब्सिडाइजिंग बट इट हैज चेंज्ड बिहेवियर्स.
दैट्स राइट
राइट एंड सेम थिंग. सो समटाइम्स बिहेवियर चेंज डज रिक्वायर सब्सिडी व्हाट इज कॉल्ड सब्सिडी डिस्काउंटिंग. बट इवन देयर एंड मे बी इट्स फॉर अ डिफरेंट स्टेज बट इवन देयर इट्स पॉसिबल टू फिगर आउट whether unit economics is working because if you have to keep subsidizing to get users back then you don't have product market.
You know, in fact you're bringing up quick commerce. It is one of those rare things that I have fundamentally changed my decision making framework on because quick commerce was never a problem.
Yeah.
It didn't solve a problem.
Yeah.
Apart from like, if I may say so, cigarettes, Maggie and condoms.
Which Dunzo used to do.
Right?
In those original
apart from
days.
Those three things, you don't need anything less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying janta.
Yeah.
But I was like, quick commerce, how will it work? It's not solving a problem. No one has come and told me ki 8 minute mein chahiye. Are if you get it in 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes is okay. You can wait that much. Yeah. I think the thing that it proved to me is that apart from problem, the one other thing is that if you add a systemically different amount of convenience to someone's life, it becomes impossible to go back.
And I feel that today with agentic AI.
It's not solved the problem really.
But
like once you are able to build something on your own at home and do 90% of the work yourself, it's over. You can never go back to
simple things like travel planning. I know most people have now started going to ChatGPT. It has changed their lives, right? Then you had a fantastic journey for many years. I know that your company has always been differentiated. I remember once saying ki with 40% EBITDA or 60% EBITDA, whatever you were at, that you truly had built equivalent of a Google type of culture and you have kept a very strong team together. So let's take the question and then talk about how you build culture.
Hey, I am Hanan, the co-founder of Play to Speak. This is my second year running business and my first time hiring a bunch of employees. What I really wanted to know is the kind of work culture and expectations I need to set and I need to expect from them. So if you can give me your top three in terms of work culture that would make them both efficient, productive and motivated at the same time.
I used to joke that you have spoiled your employees, but I know but also you do have, like Google did, had a very high performance culture.
That's
so
right.
Talk about it. How do you?
We spoiled them and we said that we expect nothing except 100% from you. We'll give you 150%.
Let's go all the way back. So now you've gotten funded, you're building, and how did all of this start? And how did you start thinking about this culture? And then what did you build?
Honestly, I think to answer his question, I would say that there is no right culture. First, there is no like, these are the 3, 5 points, 10 points that you have to do. Culture is literally the founder's way of working. For startups, there is no right culture. Reliance, Google, Amazon, fully different cultures, wildly successful.
Yeah.
Every large company in this world actually that you'll see will have a very different culture of working.
But it is a definition, right? Reliance, execution at scale, thinking big.
Sure.
Google, innovation, cutting edge.
Correct.
Which was the last one you said?
Amazon.
Amazon, customer obsessed.
And customer obsessed.
Yeah.
But different cultures, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Amazon, if you go to work, they'll give you like this. You have to do a 6-page write-up before doing anything.
Yes.
Google, if you go, it has to be like innovation, innovation, innovation. It's not about actually making money. That's a separate team and all. It's all about innovation, at least under Sergey and Larry and all. I think every company has a different culture. And in your portfolio also, you'll see that. There's no one culture which is like, yaar, aise kar lo, things will work. It is literally the way the founders work.
Yeah.
I think that defines the culture. And then you have to try to put that down on paper. For us, what was important? For us, it was important freedom, delegation, pay top of market. You know, give them everything they could want. It's almost like what I had. Now, it's actually what, now, this is the first time I'm thinking about that. What did I have in my life, right? I had freedom. My dad never forced me to work in the family company. My parents, my wife right now, was super supportive of saying, do what you believe in, right? Like, my family always supported me despite the world saying no. And I never had lack of, want of money, but I had full responsibility. This is my time. I have a point to prove. And that drove us. And I think that's what we kept in our people. We said, boss.
So, but very interesting. You're saying a culture, A, is a reflection of the founder and should be the reflection. It's almost the language that would unite.
It is actually his DNA, his or her DNA. You know, the young man here said about, like, I want efficiency, I want productivity, I want whatever. Put that down. And then say, this is my culture. This is my company's culture. And then put down what you're okay with. I see, like, if you see, many founders will say that I am there at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm an early morning guy. You will see the whole company culture will be morning people. Right? And they'll be very allergic to people who walk in at 12 and 1 and all of that. There'll be other founders who walk in at 12.
And no, I saw this during the whole COVID work from home thing.
Remote. There'll be founders who will say, listen, I love remote. And they'll hire people who like remote. There'll be founders like me who say, I hate remote. I was the first guy.
I know.
I think Feb 2021 or something. I said, you know, get back.
August 2020.
Oh.
We opened our office. We had the opposite. By years, everybody's like, we were stuck in our small homes in Mumbai. Thank you for getting us out. Thank you for getting us out because it was...
So 96% of people came. 4% were also people who didn't come were mainly people who had moved somewhere already. Physically.
But the culture gets tested. And I think we'll come to now what has been happening in your life more recently. And I don't think the characterization of the question is failure, but I know there has been... some changes in your business, so we'll come to that.
Hey, myself, Saral Namdev. I am basically working as a developer, as a development. I am an aspiring entrepreneur. And I want to understand that when failures happen, how do founders bounce back?
Fast forward a little bit, great culture. The company is literally probably one of the most recognized brands, least amount of capital raised, great valuation, and then shit happens. So August 2025. But I also want to go back to the culture point. I was reading Vishal Mishra's post on you, and you happened to be there when this happened, and your first reaction was to take care of the people and say nobody's going to get laid off. So what happened? How did you deal with it? And how do we address this question?
I think for the failure part, I think you have to actually bounce back from failure every day. I think as a founder, the one thing that's guaranteed in your life, success may come or not, failure to will come every day. Either you're failing at work or you're failing at home. If you're succeeding at work, you're almost guaranteed failing at home. Right?
My wife is not.
As a founder, dude, it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're so in love with your work. That if you're doing well, then though it's like, you know, you're cheating on your on your personal life. Even within work, you're always failing, either at product, tech, design, HR, admin, legal, policy, finance, marketing. Somewhere though you're failing. And your job is a firefighter. So you have to almost get used to just being a firefighter all the time. Your job is literally to douse the flames of failure and bring it back. So I think that's just the job. Requirement.
No, so it's an interesting, I can give you an analogy. You know, people say fearlessness, many people are called fearless. And if you go deeper, fearlessness is not absence of fear.
No,
it's embracing
not.
Fear.
It
is actually action in the face of fear.
Firefighters are not fearless.
So I think failure bhi wahi.
Yaar, aag lagi hai. So you're not like, you know, I'll go, let's see what happens. You're like, shit, but this is my job. Now I've got protective gear. Let's go and save someone's life. Right? I don't want to, I'm not trying to say.
Trivialize it.
Like firefighters, but they are amazing. But I'm giving an analogy.
But in the So a lot of what you said are micro failures.
Yeah.
And then shit happens, yeah. Right? And things, yeah, this is, and specifically in your case, yeah, where, yeah. How has all this journey been, and how are you guys moving forward? From the outside, it appeared that you accepted it very quickly. How long did it take you to accept it? Are there things that you had to do? And then how did you carry the org?
I don't know. My wife keeps telling me that I compartmentalize too much. And that, you know, there has to have this emotion, and you're not actually like...
Same shit I hear. It's
all under, yeah, under, yeah, and then, yeah, she'll be like, oh, it comes out at home in other ways and all of that.
But okay, our wife should not.
Yeah, or they should, so that they're like, you know, others are also like this. Yeah. So it's okay, you,
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But I think that overall, obviously, very, very tough.
Yeah.
I think the immediate response was actually just firefighting.
Yeah.
No emotion, complete compartmentalization,
crisis mode.
You know, the whole Andersen Horowitz ka Hard Things About Hard Things and all is like...
That's a great book, by the way, to,
yeah,
read.
Amazing, yeah, book, which is like wartime CEO and peacetime CEO.
Correct.
I'm a wartime CEO.
Yeah.
So you go into wartime, then you don't think about like casualties, you don't think about like... You just think about war.
Yeah.
Right? And that was the biggest... That nuclear bomb fell.
Yeah.
Now, you can't talk about like, kisne foda hai?
Yeah.
Why did a nuclear bomb come?
Yeah.
You're just dealing with the aftermath of a nuclear bomb. Now, there's radiation everywhere and you have to deal with it. So, I think that's where we went into. And the first point for me was like, if we are truly about culture, the number one thing we've always said is talent. Because in our business, we literally don't have assets. We don't have... we don't have logistics, delivery, inventory, warehouse. We have nothing apart from that one office and 250 million phones on which Dream 11 was there. And we said that, look, we have to focus on talent at this point of time. And so we said, can we afford to keep our people here? And how long can we keep them for? And the answer was years. And so we said, then the first thing we need to do is tell people, like, we are not here to fight the government. That's not something that we want to do. We are here to resurrect according to what the government now wants us to do. We will build out new things because we know that you guys, the team that we have the capability, yeah, to build something great.
Yeah.
Why is that restricted to one product?
Yeah.
Then we should have the capability to build other great products.
And you set up 8 companies, 8 divisions.
And we set up like, yeah, we had 4 divisions already. We created 4 more because we didn't want 800 people going into one new, yeah, startup. Then it's, yeah, then it's going to fail.
Yeah.
So we got 100 people to be in 8 different divisions.
Yeah.
And have new shots at the target.
You know, it was giving me goosebumps as you were talking. I think 2 things that are so intrinsic to you that come out with so much passion. One, when you said what idea to pick, and you have taken the analogy of marriage and dating, that you have to so resonate with it that it keeps you going through tough times.
Yeah.
And then shit happens and you can't do that because these tough times are different. And the other thing you had really indexed on was culture and taking care of people, and that came very naturally to you. At least, yeah, the article says within 6 minutes you had gone and communicated to the team that they will...
I don't remember. This is all like a blackout phase of my life.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. Because you have compartmentalized.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
You haven't felt the emotion, that's why you're not...
Yeah, no, actually...
I'm joking.
My wife made me have a town hall. Okay? And she said, you guys need to grieve.
Yeah.
You, yeah, need to have this like...
Yeah, the 7 stages of grief, no?
Yeah, exactly.
Anger, denial...
Correct. Yeah. So, she made me have this town hall, which was actually a very teary-eyed, beautiful town hall where we played a couple of songs and just like said goodbye,
yeah,
to Dream, wow, 11's old business.
Dreams, yeah, and, those dreams, yeah.
You know, new I feel dreams. Like that really helped a lot of people to just together, you know, 1,000 people saying goodbye.
Yeah.
And then saying, okay, now shut that door.
Yeah.
And let's go.
Yeah.
I think that helped a lot. And I mean, honestly, like, I myself am still, now whatever it is, maybe it's because we've overpaid people, maybe it's the job market, and hopefully it's the culture and what we are trying to achieve. But we've been able to retain 85%.
Yeah. No, it's definitely the culture.
People,
I operate like in I'm, the I operate in the same ecosystem, so definitely it's a culture. Kudos. What are you looking forward to? And then we have to switch gears to our Amchi Mumbai.
I am looking forward to hoping that some of the problems we are working on are actually, we build some painkillers for them. So Dream 11 is now focusing on the problem that I'll tell you instead of the idea is that everyone is watching sports alone.
Yeah.
Gone are the days you used to go to a club or bar or friend's house or, you know, watch sports with friends. But the passion still stays.
Is it really the case? I thought I was an exception that I'm watching things alone.
Just everyone, so because it's so easy to watch alone, right? On your mobile phone.
Yeah.
Connected TVs become like 130 million going to 150 million. People are just at home watching alone.
Yeah.
You know, they're not watching with their friends as much. Now, India Park match, you'll make an exception.
Plan,
but 90% of your sports, you'll watch at home, alone.
Mm.
Or on your mobile phone, travel alone. That's the problem we're trying to solve.
Mm.
That in a time where you have such deep emotions, you need to interact with other people. So if you can't be with your friends, can we bring your friends to you? And
very cool.
So that's what we are, Dream 11 is trying to solve, is a Twitch for sports.
Interesting.
Right? Can we basically make a second screen experience? Fantasy was always second screen.
Hmm.
So you were always watching the match and then you had an engagement tool to make that match more exciting.
Yeah.
Now that fantasy can no longer be a front runner, but can we have interactive engagement through watch alongs with top creators, watch parties with friends, community building, fantasy, polls, trivia, quizzes, games. The point
is... online or events type
online,
of...
Online, online.
Everything
on your phone only.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a second screen app.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now we already have like 20, 30 million MAUs.
Yeah.
Still retaining from our user base, coming and engaging because they just want to engage. They don't want to be alone while watching sports.
Yeah.
And so this is a whole new business model we are building now and let's see where that goes.
All right. Wish you all the best in that, Harsh. Coming to our favorite city, the best city in India. I know other people have debates about it. We don't. So Mumbai, I know you're born and raised here. Building a tech business, what kept you here? What complaints did the teams have? Some of those I know were solvable. Some of them were not solvable. What kept you here? How is the world changing?
I think very early on, every VC told us to move to Bangalore, like they do everyone. And it's, you know, a right thing for many companies because they need to hire at scale as they scale. Being a digital business, we actually did not scale our people anywhere close to where we scaled our company and our numbers. It was like a fraction, right? So I think we made a decision that like, if we don't need to expand our teams aggressively, why not be a big dog in a small market?
Mm.
Rather than be a small dog, like a small fish in a big pond.
Mm.
And going to Bangalore, a lot of young founders are just small fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
Like you,
and they don't realize that they are going for the talent where attrition is 30%, 40%.
Correct. Attrition is on a good year.
Yeah.
So you're actually like very little longevity is being built, very little... very, very small amounts of your task force have that experience year over year, which compounds then. I believe that year one, you're kind of just like figuring stuff out for any employee.
Yeah.
Year two, you start getting really like good at your job. Year three is where you start growing. In Bangalore, by year three, 100% of those base is gone.
Team is gone. So there's no compounding.
So you're just constantly churning out, right? And I think that's what helped us in Mumbai. Like our average employee, I think, stayed 5-6 years. I'll tell you one thing we spoke about in team. So Tech Entrepreneurs Association of Mumbai.
Yeah.
We got the top 100 founders essentially of Mumbai to come together to run a founder-driven association.
Yeah.
Not another professionally run one. Founder-driven. To help each other grow Mumbai's tech.
Yeah.
Right? And ideally Maharashtra's tech, but first Mumbai's tech. And I think we found unbelievable amount of tech companies, like we found 8 unicorns. Just between, I think, 85 members, we have about $50 billion of valuation.
What is the plan with Mumbai Tech Week?
Yeah, so I think that for the first time ever, we are going to have a thought about what is Mumbai good at. We know all of that. what is Bangalore much better at, or even NCR region?
Engineering talent.
Is the
talent.
Amount of engineering talent.
Yeah.
The pool.
Yeah.
Which is irrelevant now.
With agentic. With AI.
Suddenly.
You don't need engineers.
I can build. I haven't written code in 21 years. I don't even remember like anything about coding.
Yeah.
I just built an app right now for fun.
Yeah. You don't need to be in Bangalore. Come stay in the best city in India.
I'm saying now you're going to have.
And it's getting cheaper with access.
Exactly. You're going to have a place where it is about the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a very small team. You're going to have solopreneurs.
Yeah.
Who are going to build like literally 1-2 member companies.
Yeah.
You're going to have small teams, 25, 50. I think these like 1,000 member teams are gone.
Yeah.
It'll
yeah,
all
yeah.
come down
the
to
people
like...
People are saying, no, 1% billion-dollar company.
Yeah, so it'll all come down to even large companies yeah. can operate with 50 people,
yeah.
right? 100 people.
Yeah.
In that case, where do you want to work now?
Yeah.
100 people talent that you'll find in Mumbai?
Yeah. I have been clear, you've been
Correct.
Clear. I think you've sold the rest.
Yeah, I'm just saying that now, if engineering talent is no longer a constraint...
Yeah, then there's no debate.
Then why would you want to work in anywhere apart from Mumbai and yeah. India? And so I think what we're going to see is the start of a different kind of tech ecosystem being built up
yeah.
where people choose to stay in amazing places because engineering talent is no longer a
yeah.
problem.
Yeah.
And I think that will be the start of Mumbai exploding as a tech city. But we need more people like you. We need people like Z47 to actually... be the Mumbai stalwarts.
We are still here.
Yeah,
we are still here.
We'll get all the other VCs to come back.
Everybody else abandoned it. We are still here. What are the plans for Mumbai Tech Week? It sounded like very different plans and very exciting.
So I think, you know, we did a great job of Mumbai Tech Week. Team is, again, NGO. It's only founders giving back. There's no profit. There's nothing like that. It's just about purely helping the system, ecosystem being built up. We also want to have Mumbai Tech Week, which last year... was Asia's largest AI event with 10,000 people show up. Now, obviously, our AI summit blew that out of the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And our PM has led the way in showing how important AI is, which we are very proud of.
Yeah.
But we still feel like there is a dearth of AI showcase and demo day, right? We believe that there needs to be an event focused on the developer community.
Like in the Valley, that's
exactly.
what happens. It's all products.
Yeah. The developer and founder community only.
Yeah.
And so we are pivoting and making sure that Mumbai Tech Week is all about, is not going to be about Gyan, which used to be, is not going to have panels, which
so
it
no
used to
no
have.
VCs are invited to speak.
No, listen.
No panels.
You're telling me all the amazing stuff you're doing on AI.
The gen,
it's
yeah.
just going to be about show us what you got. It's
yeah.
going to be
flex.
AI
We
in
call
action.
It flex your AI.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
We're going to call it AI in action.
Yeah. yeah.
Show us AI in action. Don't tell us what's coming and what's happened and
yeah.
what. Don't give us that gyan that's good for. You go on Twitter, X, you'll get all the gyan in the world.
Yeah.
Tell us what you've built. Show us what you've built and how it's working in front of 10,000 people who are all devs
Super.
And founders
Super.
Who are going to call you out on BS.
Yeah.
Right? You can't get away there.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to give birth to another bunch of founders and give rise to an ecosystem. We want to make that place a place where VCs can actually tap into the best founders.
Yeah. Superb. Harsh, thank you. Parting thoughts, comments for people listening who have been inspired, watching what Dream 11 did, will watch what you guys are up to next. Overall, from your journey, any reflections to share?
I think that's a heavy question, but I think like I said, culture is the only thing that scales. Your starting team, at least for the young founders, you will never be able to afford A talent. You shouldn't be able to afford A talent. If you do, then that's you've raised
There's
too much money.
There's a different problem, yeah.
So I think it's all about hiring B talent. Just make sure that they are culturally insanely aligned to you.
Interesting.
And that's what creates a great team, right? But that B talent and A culture sets up the foundations of a very strong team.
Very good.
And if you focus on, you know, solving one big problem and say no to everything else, it's the hardest thing to do.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing everything and very excited about future of Dream 11 next and of Mumbai.
And I think honestly, like for all of y'all out there, I know I wasn't lucky enough to have Matrix then and Z47 now join us. But not for the lack of trying, because we don't have enough people out here who actually build stuff, right? I have greater, much greater respect, like even with Vani, I have much greater respect for people who've actually built and now are investing. And so, you know, maybe in a different life or in the forward life or what we're building, I hope we can partner in some way. But I would say for everyone else out there, I truly respect the Z47 team and place them at the top of your VC bucket list. So, yeah.
Wow. Thank you. That wasn't scripted, but thank you.
So what, nothing was, huh?
You're watching Z47 Moments, the podcast by India's oldest venture capital firm, Z47. If you like this episode, consider hitting the subscribe button and the bell icon so you never miss an update from Z47 Moments.